Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the Men's Room.
Forget it, man, and get with the countdown. Shake this square world and blast off for Kicksville. The Trippers, the Grasshoppers, the Hip Ones, all gathered in secrecy and flying high as a kite.
You're listening to The Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
Rachel Gonzalez standing by. We'll take caller 9-844-999. Ola will play profile this in minutes. And we do have your headlines on the way 1 hour from now. First, quick check into Mike Hawk for some of the stories and headlines he is not working on.
Eating cashews. Oh, there are. A woman in Ohio was recently eating cashews when she found a bloody human tooth in the bag.
Oh, no.
Yummy.
Was it halves, holes, or pieces?
That would make a difference.
Yeah.
Because it would be hidden.
It's got a picture of it here. It says I'm not working on it.
I'm high end. I go for the whole.
I don't know how they
bloody cashews are great.
Cashews are the best nut out there.
Yeah, they're top notch.
Well, technically, they're not a nut.
That's my point.
That's why they're the best.
Oh crap! I dropped my tooth. This batch should be okay.
Where is my bloody tooth?
Right. That's kind of what I'm hanging on here.
Damn it! Mm-hmm. How many cashews do you think she'd eaten before she found the tooth?
It's cashews, so she ate a couple handfuls of them
right
before she found that tooth. That's not a nut you have just, or fruit that you have just one.
But see, now here's the thing, right? They're going to trace it back to some guy and be like, "Man, we have bad news. We found the guy who lost a tooth. It should be noted, he lost three teeth."
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, you just take those big ass handfuls. She probably, I don't know, swallowed two teeth.
Or somebody got punched in the mouth at the cashew factory. I mean, one of the things happened.
You ever eat part of a tooth?
Of my own, no. It chips off. Yeah.
It's horrible.
I'll bet.
I thought it was part of the oyster shell, so I kept crunching.
Oh.
And then I went to the dentist, and he was like, what
was
did
your
you
tooth?
Do? Yeah, it was part of it.
Damn. A 61-year-old man in Florida stole an ambulance and drove it home on Tuesday because he was sick of waiting to see a doctor.
All right.
Wait, he was at the hospital. The doctor was not showing up, so he just took one of the ambulances and went
ambulance
home?
And left, yeah.
All right.
Damn.
Wonder how much that cost him.
More than Uber.
Because, I mean, an ambulance ride is a pretty hefty... Hefty bill.
Well, now you'll find out whether or not there's a driver's fee.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I filled the tank. Three people in Cleveland chased down two teenagers suspected of stealing a car the other day. Then they got arrested after they forced the two kids in their trunk at gunpoint and drove them to a police station.
Oh, come on.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, I know you're not supposed to do that, but still.
They've been apprehended.
Well, you're not supposed to do
but,
that.
I mean, but... stick them in the trunk.
That's
whatever.
Right.
That's funny.
They only bound and gagged them and tortured them a little.
Did they really do all that?
No.
Okay.
You know, but you can also not steal cars.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because people react poorly when they discover that you're trying to steal their car.
Okay, here's what I think. I think if it's just other people's random cars and you're watching them do this, you would just call the cops. Hopefully they could take care of it. But they're not going to get there in time. It's not a high priority.
Right.
Nobody's being injured. It's not going to happen. However, if it's your car they're trying to steal,
much different.
I can see the adrenaline taking over and you stuffing these two kids in the back of your trunk and taking them down to the police station so this crap gets done with in my neighborhood. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
A man in Australia blew up his kitchen on Wednesday when he tried to kill some cockroaches by using a can of bug spray like a flamethrower.
Uh-oh.
It seems about right how that story should end.
Right. And I don't get how it's supposed to end well. Because they'll run. They'll see it. They'll feel the heat. They'll run. So unless you're right on them already and they just insta-die, how is this supposed to work?
It's not. Because you know what? If you live in an area that has cockroaches or has any type of cockroach infestation, yeah, you can get rid of them for a small amount of time, but they live there. That's their environment.
Well, that's the thing is that
they're
going to
come
gonna.
Back. Like, it's like trying to get rid of mosquitoes in Canada.
You're going
to
get rid
okay,
of...
Okay, I mean, good luck.
You know, you're going to get rid of, two of them, but the rest of them are still hiding. You don't
yeah,
get rid of
I mean.
Them at all.
No, they never go away.
Right.
That's why the roaches.
Right. They're everywhere.
So everyone
you
has the same opinion of roaches. Because no matter what you do, they're always there.
Right. The two that you see, there's about 30 of them that you haven't seen.
Rats are the same way.
Mm-hmm.
And if you kill one roach, 800 are born in that exact moment.
You're like a mega hydra.
Mm-hmm.
A man in Singapore recently posted some photos of his place on a real estate website. And he didn't realize that one of the photos showed him completely naked in a mirror.
I
didn't
saw see that.
Ooh, yeah, that was great. Just Wang hanging out the whole deal. I wonder if he sold that place.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, I did.
It's like you just, it's a picture of a bedroom, but there's a little bit of a mirror in the corner of the picture.
Oh, man.
And when you look in the mirror, you see him butt naked holding the camera.
Like, honey, look. Look at this place. It has a ballroom.
It comes with a penis. I know. Why are you photographing?
You'd think you'd put on shorts at least to take the picture.
I take all my pictures naked.
Hang on, baby. I got to take pictures for the house.
I'm sure he was taking pictures of other things. Like, oh, yeah, I got a real estate job.
Yeah, there he is in the mirror.
Do you think somebody alerted him to it or he found it?
I bet you someone alerted him, like the real estate agent.
Yeah, somebody
agent,
called
like,
him out on it.
Hey,
he posted,
man,
right?
we can't really post these pictures. Mike, have you seen the one that's a...
No.
It's a chick where she's doing a selfie. All right. She's in the mirror doing the typical duck lips and all this dumb stuff. But she's in her bathroom, and obviously she's putting on makeup or something. But I didn't notice it at first, but all the comments came up and said, hey, you might want to flush your poop down the toilet. So you realize when you look at this picture... There's like three turns and she hasn't flushed it.
She left a bomber in the toilet.
She left a bomber in the toilet. She's taking selfies. Like, damn, man.
Who?
Like, I tend to flush real quick after I'm done. Not trying to make friends with it.
There's how a few disgusting of those. Are you to where you're so used to the smell of your own duke where you don't even realize that?
People in the bathroom get weird. They get distracted. They take a shower. Trust me, I've lived with a guy who never flushed his crap.
Mm. Plus, once you've laid the heat down or drop that poop. Now, if you're hanging out in there, you almost become numb to it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure.
Right? Then when you leave the room and come back, it's like, damn.
Oh.
Mike, I guarantee you, I have not lived with this guy in 30 years, and I have not met his wife. But when I do, I'm going to say, does Chad still not flush his poop? And she's going to go, how did you know that? And I'm going to say, because I live with him, too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. According to a new study, fake news spreads 6 times faster on Twitter than real news does.
Well, yes. Of course.
My guess is because it's a bit more sensational.
Yeah, I mean, the more sensational the headline, the more interested people are in reading. I mean, think about all the clickbait things, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
According to a new study, the average person panics 36 times a year because they feel like they have nothing to wear.
How about your clothes?
The truth is, we have approximately 53 things in our closet. We just don't want to wear any of them. I have never, ever had that problem. I've seen a shirt that I said... I don't want to wear that. And if I say that about 6 times for that shirt, it goes in the garbage.
Goes to Goodwill.
Or the Goodwill, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Or something you bought that you really like and you realize it doesn't fit you right or it itches.
Yeah.
Or there's something like that that you just know there's a reason why you wouldn't wear it all the time. Then
get rid of it.
Just get rid of it.
Right.
Because someone else will wear it and it won't bother them.
Exactly.
But there's two universal truths. People that have nothing to wear have a closet full of clothes. People that have nothing to eat have a refrigerator full of food.
Yes.
There's nothing in here.
According to a new survey, the average person wants to go to 25 sporting events, comedy shows, and concerts a year.
I think that's doable.
But only makes it to 8.
That sounds about realistic.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to go to 22 is the difference. I just want to go to the things I want to go to. And normally, if I do want to go, I'll go.
Right.
But by the time you have enough money to be able to just make the decision to go, you probably have less time than you did when you didn't have the money to go.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I think you got to... If you're going to go to a lot of sporting events, you got to have a season ticket to something.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Right. That helps.
It says, should you hold out for your perfect soulmate? Or is there a point where you should just settle for someone who's good enough?
How would you even know?
According to a new survey, 61% of people say you should hold out, and only 11% say you should settle. Which I kind of agree with.
But what about the other 30%?
You're just living.
You don't even care, Ted.
You don't matter.
Your soulmate.
You don't matter.
61%, like 11, like, no.
You're just floating out there.
A woman in Texarkana found quite the surprise in her trunk.
What was that?
I'll tell you all about it 1 hour from now.
Thank you, Mike Hawk. Headlines are on the way 1 hour from now. First, the game is...
The Men's Room presents... Profile This.
Hey, Stephen Thrill, could you please tell everyone how Profile This is played?
I sure can, Miles. It's a simple game where we share with you a real-life news story, something that happened right here on planet Earth.
Earth.
And as you listen to the story, based on the stereotypes you believe to be true of people and the decisions that people make, we'll ask you what it is you think makes the story a story. Hello, Bear. Welcome to the Men's Room.
Thank you.
Hola. You are welcome, Bear.
Hola.
All right, Bear, you understand how this here game is played.
Yes, I do.
Fantastic. Here's your story. A 22-year-old woman was booked into jail this week, nearly 4 months after LSU officials said that she managed to sneak her way into one of the LSU graduation ceremonies and take someone else's diploma. She was accused of inserting herself into the December ceremony alongside real LSU graduates. She was able to walk across the stage. Now, police said she was involved in the entire graduation process and successfully took a purple diploma cover along with a diploma that, again, belonged to a different student. Now, according to the arrest warrant, she put a forged diploma inside of the cover, giving the appearance that she'd earned a degree from LSU. Now, someone at the graduation later confronted her, where she admitted that she'd given the real diploma to another person. So she was allowed to leave, but she walked away with the cover and the fake diploma in hand. She was booked into jail just this month on charges of theft and unlawful production, manufacture, distribution, or possession of a fraudulent post-secondary education degree. In other words, it's illegal to do, and they hit you with everything they got. My question is, do you believe that this young woman is black, white, Mexi, or Jew?
I'm going to have to go with Jew.
Jew? Why Jew?
They, you know, I guess really high standards for their parents.
Sure. Wouldn't necessarily argue that.
I got to say, though, man, like, I've been, you said it was LSU, right?
LSU, mm-hmm. That was correct.
Like, I've been to Baton Rouge. That's the biggest Jewish community I've ever seen in my life.
Black and white.
Yeah, I mean, that's Baton Rouge.
Man, red that's sick.
So she goes through the process. She gets the real diploma, hands it off.
Gives it to somebody.
And then starts posing with the fake one.
Yeah, she walked across the stage, grabs the cover, and most of the time your diploma's not in the cover, but she had a fake diploma on her, put that one in, took the other one out, gave that one to some random person. She was confronted about it. They let her leave, but she still took the cover and a fake diploma, but eventually the cops got involved and she was arrested.
I'd guess black or white, Bear, but I don't know.
I think I'm leaning kind of white on this one.
What are you thinking, Bear?
I'm going to go white then.
Final answer.
Yes, final answer.
All right, we'll find out if she was black, white, Mexican, or Jewish next.
That was a tease.
You are listening to the Men's Room Radio Network.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hola, bitches. You're listening to The Men's Room.
Profile this takes us to Louisiana and a woman who was trying to scam a degree from Louisiana State University. And yeah. She showed up at graduation. Got a forged document of some type.
I believe she made it herself, yeah.
And then tried to get her own degree, but somehow she was busted along the way. She did make it out of there. The cops went to her house, I guess, and confiscated all this stuff. But, yeah, it was that important to her to get a degree from the university that she didn't go to, which is strange.
You know, the other way to do that is to go.
Yep.
But we asked you, Bear, did you believe this woman was black, white, Mexi, or Jewish? Originally went Jewish, then changed it to white. Black.
Huh.
Her name's Bianca White, but she is, in fact, black. Bianca White. Yeah.
Bianca.
Mm-hmm.
Now for all TV news all time, time for TV Time with Ted.
And now, because your pathetic life is confined to countless hours in front of a talking box,
I'm again.
The Men's Room presents TV Time with Ted.
Oh, man, I'm flustered. Taking chances over here. Eating citrus fruit right before a segment. All right.
What kind of chance would that take? You wouldn't be able to speak? You would pucker up?
You know, I don't know.
Okay.
I can just feel
that's
it pulsing.
That's why it's risky.
It's pulsing through me.
The vitamin C.
Mm-hmm. I took a chance because I saw it and it looked delicious. Speaking of citrus fruit, people like to eat citrus fruit at halftime of sporting events when they're little children, right?
Sure. That's basically just, I got to bring a snack to a soccer match, and that's what I'm going to do with some sliced fruit because it looks better than bringing, like, real good snacks that they probably could burn off.
cookies. And
are we hating on orange slices now?
No, I'm just saying that those kids run around enough where, you know, like they don't need to watch their calories. So, you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't need to be fruit. Like, maybe if we're playing in an adult league, it could be. But
I don't know, man. I mean, it's halftime. Can't be slamming a cookie.
I'm slamming a cookie.
Sounds like the kids are running this one.
Yep.
So Kobe Bryant, you would know him from playing basketball. He now owns an Oscar. Which he won for writing, I think he wrote a movie, a short film about basketball.
Okay.
So while I'm impressed.
I have no idea what it's about.
Well, I'm just saying I'm impressed that he won an Oscar as a basketball player. Mm-hmm. But I don't, you know, it's kind of like when a rapper wins like an award for acting as themselves. Right? Like he wrote a movie about basketball. Like,
but I'm sure it was a documentary or something, right?
Something like that.
Maybe you're looking at this wrong. Maybe we should be impressed that a screenwriter played basketball so well for so many years.
Dude, you know what?
He won five if you NBA just reverse it,
you're right.
Like, exactly. Man, this screenwriter, boy, he could bowl.
There was a guy for a while, that was an author who tried to spend 1 year of his life doing one thing. And that was his whole thing. So, like, 1 year he tried to dunk a basketball.
Yeah.
And so all he did was just lift and do all these things. And the next year he tried to qualify for like a pro-am in golf.
Okay.
And it never played.
Yeah.
And just writes books about that. So that would be impressive.
It would be. So Kobe, obviously he's been doing the media tours. And you forget that like back in the day, he won championships, but he won a number of them with Shaquille O'Neal when he was on the Lakers. So then Shaquille O'Neal, obviously a lot larger than Kobe Bryant.
You can barely tell.
Yeah. But basically, he's got a good story of kind of getting in a fight with Shaq.
Huh.
Who threw the first punch in that fist
fight? Oh, he did.
He did, yeah.
I couldn't reach him. He was like, you know.
Yeah.
I saw this big fist. I mean, the fist is like literally this big. Like, during the interview, I pick up his hand. I'm looking at the size of his hand. I'm going, I must have been the craziest 19-year-old in the world.
Yeah,
to fight this guy, man. But it was just, is what it is.
So he threw a punch, like a real punch.
Yeah, he threw a punch. I had to slip it. Uh-huh. And then I threw one back, and then everybody jumped in and just broke it apart.
I wouldn't have jumped anywhere near that.
You know, at that point, you just got to say, look, man, either you're going to beat the hell out of me, but one, you know, you're going to know
that you're not going to back down.
Yeah, I'm not going back down. And we kept playing because it was during the scrimmage.
I see.
So we're playing pickup basketball. We kept playing.
Afterwards, like in school, if you get in a fight with a guy, afterwards, like you kind of become closer in a way. Did that happen at all?
Well, no, because like we were scrimmaging and his team was up 5-2 when the game goes to 7. So after the fight, I didn't just got really pissed and scored every point, and then we won the game, and I let him know about it. So that kind of soured any opportunity for us to kind of.
I mean, that's classic Kobe Bryant.
Yeah,
it is.
They were never really friends. They won championships together, and that's fair. I mean, it's a sports team. But even the way he describes that, right? Like, oh, he threw the first punch. Like, I don't know, he's a monster. So I had to slip it and then fire
him. Oh, yeah, like, isn't that how you tell the story, though? That's exactly how I would tell the story, if that's how the story played out. Like, hey, man, a check.
It just seems like he can't help but kind of talk a little trash at all times.
Well, of course. I got mad, so I put in every point until I won the game. Like, sure.
He's a competitor. You know, like Michael Jordan, man. He's a winning.
It'd have been a lot different, though, if Shaq had connected that punch. Shaq punched me once. My head still hurts.
Right. If you watch that full interview, it's up on the Benjamin Facebook page. I hear what you're saying, but I got into this huge argument with a couple other friends of mine. Is there like, I was talking about, you know, after games, shaking hands or this or that, you know, and like, well, some guys are just so competitive. And I said, I get the competitiveness of not wanting to talk to the media afterwards, competitive, but like, I also think some guys, some athletes, like, they're just D's.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's
like,
all it is.
And it's like, they act like a-holes because they can. And then it's like, well, I was just super competitive. Like, everybody's a professional athlete here.
So they're all like competitive.
We're all pretty competitive.
You're a professional narcissist.
Right. if you're playing a professional athlete, they're probably competitive. And the thing, if nothing else, man, just at the end of the game, there's no more competition. The competition, win or lose, competition's over. You shake their hand. I get you don't want to talk to the media. No offense to the media. But generally, you only ask them stupid questions and you waste their time, right? But also, other than coverage, you don't do anything to make them better. You're just annoying. At least with the person you were competing against, they either made you look better or look worse that day. But that's the person I'd want to respect.
Yeah.
You know, I do this game, right, because I want to compete. I want to compete against the best. Hopefully I'm better. And winner. But at the end, you shake their hand like, good. You see linebackers shaking hands with the running back. I mean, killing you all day, or the running back was killing you all day. But the point is, like, I want to play against you.
Trying to make it better, too.
Right.
You know, so when you do play, and that's the one, unfortunate thing about being a teammate with somebody, in a safety kind of way, like, that's your best opportunity to fight somebody. If you guys are frustrated at each other and you got to go at each other, like, you guys have your back. No one's going to get real hurt. Someone's going to pull you off if it gets nasty, but you can just settle your differences and go. It's almost the safest environment to fight in a strange way, because you're fighting someone you know. You also have friends that have your back. It's going to either pull somebody off of you who are beating the hell out of you, or, you know, like...
It's like fighting a family member.
Yeah, exactly. It's,
you don't have to like each other, but we'll you're going to coexist.
We'll hug each other at the end, and we'll keep going, and...
I don't think they hugged it out.
I don't think so either, according to him. That worked out pretty well.
Give me a hug. I can give you a big hug. Oh, sorry about throwing that punch at you. Come on. Come on, Cody. Bring it in, man.
And you rarely used to hear about that when that would happen back in the day, because the media wasn't all over every practice and everything.
Well, you also keep your mouth shut.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Football players get in fights all the time in practice. It's not like, I can't believe the scout team guy got in a fight with, like, yeah, you should, because he should be jacking Des Bryant every time he gets off the line, because he doesn't practice much, and he's owning them today.
But every player says the same thing.
But it's just, right, and nowadays also, and I think it's fine, but it's like, they used to protect these dudes, because it was like, I mean, that was always the story with Jordan. If you wrote anything negative about him, he just would cut you off. So if you're a reporter in Chicago,
he wouldn't talk to you.
It's up to you, but yeah.
So, yeah, and nowadays, obviously, with TMZ and everything else, it's just, the stories are out there. If anything, they're probably more restrained nowadays.
Yeah, just based on the fact that we get so much information so quick.
My advice would be, don't have sex with Matt Barnes' ex-girlfriends.
Matt Barnes.
Yeah. It's a good rule of thumb. If you're buddies with somebody,
don't have sex with their
wife.
Right, exactly.
Unless they're out of town, Ted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my bad,
If they're at least a five-hour drive away, you're all in.
All right, so some people, you know, I will admit, when you watch late-night TV... It's pretty much the same, you know, kind of views on everything.
Sure.
That everybody, you know, if you watch the mainstream kind of stuff. So people talk about this all the time. So what you'll listen to here is five different late night hosts. And they all use a little bit of a different version, but they're basically telling the same exact joke about Donald Trump.
Okay. In other Trump news, adult film star Stormy Daniels is back, and this time she's suing Trump, claiming that a 2016 hush agreement preventing her from discussing their affair is invalid because, get this, Trump never signed it. This is amazing, mostly because it's the first time Trump has ever not put his name on something.
How incompetent are you if you didn't sign your own NDA? The same guy who slaps his name on everything. Buildings, vodka, the least sexy Twilight vampire. Everything, except the NDA.
So this is the thing Trump thought was too sketchy to put his name on. What about Trump University or Don Jr.?
That's right, the businessman president didn't even remember that when you make a deal, you have to sign it. Which is surprising, considering how much he loves showing off a signature.
It's interesting, he remembers to put his name on everything else. Water, vodka, steaks, Trump, 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 Trump. But he has a problem with bills. He doesn't sign them or pay them.
Right, and like, the thing is, like, nobody, I don't think a writer from one of these shows called the other one and said, hey, we got this
everyone's
great
go-to.
Right, I think it's just, you know, and you read that story... You don't have to be a late-night talk show host to have probably made that joke.
Sure, I think it's just the nature of the comedy writer.
And they all tape at about the same time, 5 o'clock on wherever they are, so it's not like anybody has a preview to what they're doing, or they're all doing it roughly at the same time, whether either West Coast, East Coast.
But you also have like 15 different writers on each show, and I'm just guessing, based on what I heard there, right? So whatever time they convene to do their meeting and start testing their jokes, I bet you all 15 were like, I got a doozy. Like, and I'm saying 15 per the five different, so 75 writers had the exact same joke.
Yeah.
You know, he puts his name on everything. Why don't we do a gag, see? Like, he didn't put his name here, and that's the exception.
I can't believe
75 writers came up with the exact same thing.
That's like, right. And sometimes jokes are just that simple.
Sure.
Right? Like, I have a friend, coworker.
We have a friend, an acquaintance.
I don't know. I don't give out to. Anyhow, this person. I know a person named Emilio, all right?
Okay.
So one of our other mutual friends is like, what's Emilio's last name? And I went, you know what? I'm not going to yell Estevez. And my other buddy looked at me and goes, I yelled Estevez.
Yeah, of course. Well, it's every time we get somebody calls.
Right? Emilio! Yeah.
That's when I feel bad. Someone calls it the weird name. You crack a joke. They're like, yeah, you're the first person.
Never heard that one before.
Yeah, I know. Thank so, right. You. I mean, this happens in regular life. You can only imagine the late night shows. The only joke I refuse to do anymore is the beer truck joke. I just walk by.
Instead of the...
Hey, yeah, you're leave a six-pack back there for me.
Oh,
yeah, I'll do God's work.
You're the man!
I know.
I can't believe they're not more bitter as people.
Tuesday morning, buddy. I've got a dolly that I'm pushing.
I have a keg that weighs 8 million goddamn pounds. And what you did, sir, was tell me the same freaking thing that I'm going to hear 2,000 more times today that I heard 6,000 times yesterday. Look, if you do beer delivery, you have a right to be bitter.
You know that's going to my house.
Hey.
Yeah, man.
Need my address?
But with that said, most of my friends in the beer industry are actually just pretty happy people.
That's what I mean. Yeah, exactly. It amazes me.
Because no one comes out and goes, F you, I hate beer.
<That's true.
laughs> You know, they're like, hey, buddy, friend, pal.
That's like true. It's always a very positive response.
Like no one's pissed off at the Lay's chip truck.
Now.
They're just like, oh, ho, ho. Wonder how long he's going to leave that back door open.
Think we can do it? Dude, he's going to the back of some moment.
Just grab it.
Just grab it before he comes up. No, stop.
I know. It's so hard.
So hard not to steal contraband.
Well, I'd say not to steal it, but also not to make those stupid jokes.
It is hard.
I saw a guy filling up cupcake things yesterday, and I was like, in my head, was like, say something to him, Dad. Say it.
You know what, man?
Say it.
I was having a plate cleared at a restaurant. I'd eaten everything on it.
How you did a clean plate club joke?
I didn't do it. I was about, like, my mouth was open to be like, hated it. Then I'm like, they will break that plate over your head if you crack that.
How was your meal, sir? What do you think, dumbass? Is there a scrap left on this plate? I didn't think so.
Would you give me an empty plate? Is that what you did?
Flip the script.
Did you guys watch Sopranos, right?
Sure. Yep.
If I remember correctly, when that show, that last couple seasons, we all agreed we hated it, but we all agreed we weren't going to stop watching it.
We said it went downhill, they're driving us crazy, get to the point, and every week we were like, you going to watch it next week? Of course I'm going to watch it next week, goddammit.
Kill the pig? Get her over with. You know, like they could have done 6 episodes before. Like they just kind of drug it.
You know why? Because they knew we'd keep watching it.
I believe as they wrote it, they didn't know how they were going to end it.
They didn't. And it didn't matter because we kept watching it.
You can't really form a new plot line or something exciting or get to a point where you don't know where that point is.
But he's right. It didn't matter because we couldn't stop. We were addicted to The Sopranos.
I mean, they could even say, hey, man, we know that most of these episodes of the last season really sucks. But since you keep watching it, we're going to keep sucking until we come up with something that doesn't suck. Cool.
Yeah. So it's been 11 years since Sopranos ended its run, okay? And then brought Journey back. Now a movie is in the works, and it's going to be a prequel. That means it takes place before the series.
Yeah. Thank you, Ted.
A sequel comes after the original.
This is all true.
Unless you do the sequel to the prequel.
Which is crazy.
Star Wars, it did 3 prequels. But the second prequel was then a sequel to the prequel.
Say it.
Bam!
Mind blown.
Wrap your head around that, boy.
Inception. All right. The working title is The Many Saints of Newark. Newark, of course, fine city in New Jersey, where a lot of the show took place was New Jersey. That's where a lot of the gangsters live. But David Chase, who is the creator of The Sopranos, along with another writer of the show, they're working on it. Basically, it's going to be set around the riots in the 1960s.
Always a good time.
Yeah.
Race riots? Oh, yeah. Detroit.
That's exactly what it is.
New Jersey.
African-Americans and Italians of New Jersey. I like the way they write this. When the African-Americans and Italians of New Jersey were at each other's throats.
Then they decided, let's just box.
Right. Let's just settle this in the ring.
Yeah.
Apollo Creed, Rocky Balboa.
Rocky Marciano, meet Muhammad Ali.
I mean, look, I like The Sopranos. I'd probably watch it. I can't imagine this will make even they say here, the gangsters took it a little too far. Like, yeah, I don't think this is going to look awesome for the Sopranos side of this.
It's the mob, man.
Yeah.
I mean, like, there's all the glamorous stuff, but inevitably, you don't make the mob look bad. We understand what the mob is. Like, man, you're painting us in a bad light. Your nickname is The Mob. I mean, like, that's all you need to know.
But I feel like there's a separation between doing criminal stuff and just being racist.
Well, yeah. I mean, because you can be a racist without being a criminal. They would just happen to be criminal racist, but not criminally racist.
One group legally is in the country against their will. The other group is here
illegally.
With their will illegally.
Right.
You do the math on which one of those is which.
Mm-hmm.
Not saying that one group wanted to be there, but they were there legally. The other group wanted to be there, but they were there illegally.
But see, that's always my argument.
I'm just
saying. Let's do that thing where you check the genealogy.
Yeah, like
you can be upset who's still
please,
in the country.
Please, please, people, don't do history. It's really going to mess your head up. It's crazy. They've even got nicknames for that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Earlier, without by the way, the show, papers. The movie will feature some of the characters from The Sopranos. Like Tony, like Tony's
child.
Parents.
Yeah. Well, it'd be like little Tony?
Yeah,
like,
I think it'd just be his parents. I don't know. Maybe he'll be in there.
No, maybe he'll be a kid. Or yeah, they got to tie in the family member somehow.
Anything Sopranos, obviously, you can never have, you know, James Gandolfini's passed away.
That is a problem.
So, right, so there's always going to be a, you know, you probably couldn't, I'm going to no sequel.
Well, he wouldn't have played a kid anyway.
No,
I'm playing myself at six.
This week earlier, I think I ruined some children's show. Talking about the McStuffins.
McStuffin?
Yeah.
You said it sounds like porn.
Yeah, it sounds like a fun porn name.
And listen, I hate the TV show.
Call me
show.
D. McStuffin.
Oh, God.
We only get together at Thanksgiving.
And again, it is Doc McStuffin. So it would be,
Doc McStuffin.
It's Doc McStuffin's, Ted. That's the kid show. So it would still be D. McStuffin's. You follow what I'm saying? It's this little black girl who saves, like, stuffed animals or whatever. Doc McStuffins.
Okay. Well, now that I ruined that one.
Apparently, she's a whore.
That's Stuffins.
Good news. There's another child show you love. Blue's Clues is coming back.
Oh. You know, I don't think the two-year-olds are going to be as excited about this as the...
Well, yeah. And they said, quote, it'll be even furrier and more huggable.
Could you imagine, like, a nine-year-old now like, going through the bringing back Blue's Clues?
Like,
this
what
is like
that?
The highlight of my day right now. Remember that when we were two?
Right.
We used to watch it.
The original.
Now we're eight.
The original was 96, 2006.
Yeah.
So Steve Burns hosted back then. That's coming back. Blue's Clues.
All right. Thank you, Tim. We appreciate it. Good news. All right. We got the headlines coming up with Mike Hawk. You are listening to the Men's Room Radio Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Men's Room returns with Miles and Thrill. Now, let's see what's happening in the real world.
All right, here we go to Texas, where a woman drives to Walmart and Shazam, her ex-boyfriend jumps out of her trunk.
Shazam.
Meanwhile, Florida man goes into a Mexican restaurant, orders one chimichanga plus 16 vodkas before walking out on his tab as, yes, he was drunk. We head down to South Beach, where a horse walks into a bar. Alabama cancels Renaissance Festival as they thought the sex might have gone too far. An angry chair brewing in Tampa is making people very angry. It is time for your headlines.
Now, it's time to hit the headlines. Here's Mike Hawk.
All right, our top story. In Texarkana, a woman was forced to call police because of what she found in her trunk. While driving, she heard a strange noise coming from inside the car. Shortly after the noise, she heard her ex-boyfriend call her name from the trunk. Should be noted that she has a protective order against the man, so she pulled the car over in a Walmart parking lot, ran inside, and called the police. He was arrested shortly afterward.
You know, if someone has a restraining order against you, and you really, really feel that compelled to have to make contact with them, I just feel like hiding in the trunk of the car might be the worst way to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, even if you show up at the door, it's not recommended. Call them on the phone. Not recommended.
But
hide in their trunk, it verifies why they got the restraining order.
But on the same token, she's got a restraining order against him, and he still feels the need to contact her. He still feels like she would want to to hear this. So he's not okay in the head.
You don't think a woman
restraining
wants,
order.
You don't think every woman wants a trunk man.
Yeah, right.
If you want to get to a woman's heart, Mike, I'll tell you what. Climb in the trunk of your girlfriend's car without her knowing, and then surprise her when she's gone. So she'll love you for it.
I think she would, because she doesn't have a restraining order against me.
Not do that once, she will.
What if I was in her trunk? Pops out.
It'd be a little bit more disturbing, but, you know, she likes
it.
She
wouldn't be as disturbing because she'd be like, oh, my God, who put someone in my trunk? What's going on here?
Right.
It's not the ex-boyfriend that I have a restraining order against.
Right.
It's some random white guy that I don't know. How did he get my trunk?
Exactly.
And I brought bananas.
And these little tiny cuties.
What?
I brought fruit.
Cleaned the inside of your trunk for it.
Around the world, another fine tale out of Florida. A man was arrested for not paying his tab at a Mexican restaurant. But the tab that he racked up was rather impressive.
No, it's not.
Over 8.5 hours, the man had a chimichanga and 16 vodkas.
Look, one every 30 minutes.
You're
not
there,
bad.
You're there for 8.5 hours.
Yes.
At some point in time. I'm sorry. Maybe on vodka number 5 or 6, someone's got to come up and go, sir, if you're not going to eat and you continue to drink, we need to run a tab, so can we get a card? So the idea being like, it's pretty common sense. I can't imagine you just let this go. It's 8.5 hours.
Sure.
You've been to Florida.
16 drinks and you have yet to...
One chimichanga. Like, at some point in time, you have to think, okay, this is a red flag. This is not a normal customer. Yes, maybe they can... Maybe they can drink 12, 16 vodkas, but I need to have your credit card beforehand.
Right.
Just to make sure that you won't run out on it.
You don't want...
But it's Florida. And if they thought logically in Florida... We wouldn't read about it in the news ever.
I mean, out of the five of us, how many of us had walked out on a tab because we were so blackout drunk?
But you walk back in the next day to go, dude, did I walk out on that tab?
Exactly.
And so I'm sorry because this is my neighborhood bar.
But you had your card.
And I still walk back. Even if I left it there, had it in my wallet, either way, I'd walk back.
But, Mike, here's the difference. In the moments I've been so blacked out drunk, I walked out on a tab, which just happened early. I showed up halfway to black. Like, I did not spend all... I didn't do all of my damage there.
Sure.
They didn't understand the monster that just walked into their bar.
Right, but what I'm saying is to Miles' point, you still gave them a card to rack it up. They didn't care that you walked out on the tab. They're going to run the card.
Right, because you give them the card ahead of time.
Some places just don't do that. They're just old school.
I guess.
If you're sitting at the bar...
They're not going to be old school anymore. It's like,
that's right.
There's a reason where there's rules in certain places. Like, you live and you learn. Like, they'll never do that again, I think.
I asked for my tab, and she said, you already paid it, Ted.
Ooh.
Damn.
Mm-hmm.
Dang. That's better than not,
right? It's still embarrassing.
It's okay though. The difference is your intentions are pure and true, and you mean right.
You just happen to be an idiot.
You might be dumb at that point and drunk, but you're not trying to screw someone over and be a debaucherist.
Yeah.
I think that goes a long way.
Debaucherist.
And you can come in the next night and still have a drink and be like, oh, Ted was a little bit messed up, okay, but he's cool.
That's it for your headlines. For that, my cock is out.
Thank you, sir. We appreciate it. We'll see you next time for the random question. Your guess is as good as mine. Profile this, and we'll drink and toast again with the shot of the day.
Sure, whatever the hell he said. In the meantime, we be all about this bitch. So until we meet again, please do what you do best. And for Aletha's sake, stay beautiful.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.